Matt, welcome.
What's going on, man?
Not too much, not too much. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you squeezing in your time. I'll get right to it. We always start off. What's on feet these days? I don't know what the weather's like in Cincinnati. I imagine it doesn't affect your footwear maybe too much, but what are you wearing these days? I know you have some favorites, but
Today I actually have the LeBron 7 on. I was wearing the Salehe Crocs in today. It's probably my go-to dad shoe right now, besides black cement Jordan 4s. But I felt inclined to wear these LeBrons today. I'm a big fan of the LeBron 7, always have been. And seeing that they're about to drop tomorrow, I felt like, yeah, I should, make sure I grab the pair before they go to the stores.
So a new pair. I was going to ask, you have a lot of LeBrons in the stash. Are you a LeBron collector as much as you are maybe a Jordan collector?
Nah, not at all. Over the years, I kind of like skimmed down on my LeBron collection side, but yeah, the LeBron 7 though, that is probably my favorite. So I try to keep, a pair of those around. But yeah, the new FAMU colors, they got my eye. So I got
Yeah.
those.
You mentioned Jordan 4's black cement 4's. I think I know why that's. Well, you talked about the Crocs being a dad shoe, but I think the black cement 4's are a good dad shoe, especially when you have young kids. You have a young kid who probably steps on your toes a lot, right?
Yeah, she is destructive, but she's respective. She's respectful now. She's getting a little bit bigger and she understands like, hey, we don't step on each other's feet. We're very she's very quick to understand, the life lessons that I'm giving.
Right.
So she's doing really well with that.
Yeah, not only about protecting the sneakers, also just about respecting people's space, right?
Yep,
Well,
exactly.
we'll talk about kids maybe a little bit later, but speaking of fours, I think you label yourself a fours guy. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, man, if you know anything about me, it's probably that, man, I genuinely love the Jordan 4. It's my favorite shoe of all time, but it's my go-to. I mean, I wear it every single day, pretty much every single day, whether it's, run to the store, if it's gonna be my all-day shoe, if it's gonna be, my in the warehouse shoe, whatever. It's like that's the shoe for me most. It just goes with my day to day.
Do you know where that comes from? Does it come from watching a game or the design or just maybe something growing up?
So I was in let's see, 99. I was in the 8th grade, and this kid, DeLorean Chancellor, came in, and he had him on the remake for that year. And I was at that time, I was wearing like Iversons. I was just kind of, not so focused on retros. I know what they were doing, but I was like, man, I played basketball growing up, so I was like, yo, AI's on the court. I see him. I want to wear those. But man, he came in wearing them, and I did my best to get to the store as fast as I could. They had already sold out, so Foot Locker at the time did this thing called a swap program where they sell you what's available at the time that's most comparable, right? And they actually sent me the Vindicate in white and black. And said, hey, sorry about, we don't have the black cements, but these are most comparable. And, hopefully you like them. And I don't know about how your mom was growing up, but like, if you inconvenience her, she's gonna inconvenience you. So inconvenience my mom to go take me that day. And then she was just like, yo, go ahead. You gotta rock out with these Vindicates. So for years, I worked at the shoe store and then I was going off to college. And I actually bought a black cement 4 off of eBay the first time. That's how I got them, paid 225. And at that time it was like, oh my gosh, what am I thinking? But I bought those to myself as a graduation gift. And man, they went with me everywhere. I'm talking about like, the first time I visited Philadelphia, I was wearing those shoes. And my uncle dropped me off and I literally walked, up South Street, all the, into Ubik, into the gallery, in the Galleria, I'm sorry. And I was walking through all these places, and that's when I realized, like, man, I love sneakers. Like, I want to own a shop. you know, in high school, I talked about it, but that's what really solidified it. And I remember looking down and I had those shoes on. So like, strangely enough, and I don't know if it's just like how things work out, but like whenever there's like a key moment in my life, I swear by chance, I've just been wearing a Jordan 4. So like, you know, that's why I resonate with it so much. You know, the day that my daughter was born, I wore black cements, a fresh pair, you know, going to the hospital. So it's like that shoe, I got, I think 12 more. No, I have a six pack just ready for whatever occasion or, you know, whatever is going to happen in life. So my chair just did something crazy. But yeah, man. So I got those like on deck for the rest of my life. I probably got about 20 pairs of black cement alone. And then as far as fours go, I think I counted the other day and I'm up to like 187, I think it was. So like, I have a ton of Jordan 4s and I will love that shoe till I can't anymore.
So I want to ask about, you know, building the store and your experience in retail, how that connected, but I have to ask, 187 Jordan 4s, what does that mean about what else you have?
I have too much of everything. That's what that means about it. You know, just like, you know, obviously owning the shoe store for the last 15 years, I mean, you know, I tried to take when I could, but there's a lot of things that I've missed as well. But then, you know, as business continued to improve, like I definitely taste, you know, something else, right? But yeah, man, I have too many shoes. Actually working on a way to, you know, be able to get some of these pairs that I probably won't wear to people that, you know, are a size 9 or a size 8.5 or 8 even. I think I got a couple size 9.5. So I fluctuate too. So that being said, yeah, you're going to probably see in the future me giving away a ton of pairs of shoes because I just don't need them all, man, at this point.
Right. And, you know, talking about that experience, you worked in sneaker retail, right? And then you took that trip to Philly. I mean, it sounds like it didn't click in your head that you wanted to do it until you took that trip, but your experiences there, I guess, built it up and maybe gave you the confidence that you knew what you were doing or you could do it.
Yeah, like I mean, in high school, like I was in a sports marketing program called DECA at my school. We were fortunate enough to have that, and that started my senior year, but really my sophomore, my junior year, I developed a relationship with my teacher at the time, and he was just kind of, you know, hey, man, you might be really good at this. You might be really good at this. And then, you know, as basketball became something that I, you know, had to come to fruition, like, or, you know, had to really come to as like, hey, that's not probably your ultimate goal. You know, then I started looking at different things. But I fell in love with retail here in Cincinnati, working at Foot Locker, then moving over to Foot Action. And then, you know, as I went off to college, you know, kind of, you know, leaving college behind, but also taking on 3 different jobs. With Lids, Express, Man of Fashion on top of my Foot Action job. And then I just really fell in love with retail and just really, you know, seeing the other aspects of it, putting it together, right? How did they do this? How did they do this? And then at the end of that, you know, being able to step out and move to Minneapolis and become a, you know, kind of an apprentice per se, under somebody, you know, that really gave me the confidence to be like, I can do this, you know, figure it out. And then opening in 2008 in a recession also gives you confidence, you know. So, yeah, man. Been cool. A while. Been at this for a while.
Absolutely. And you talked a little bit about growing up in Cincinnati and yep. Some of the sneakers that you, you know, were wearing and what you wanted. What do you remember about the culture or what sneakers was there? It sounds like it was pretty, you know, by the time you're in grade 8, grade 9, people were into it.
Oh yeah. But I mean, so like my school, it was, you know, Nike had blew up, man. Nike was like the thing to have. And then, you know, you had cool eras where, you know, Saucony was the focus. You had eras where Fila was the focus. So, you know, I got to see like a lot of different brands per se. But I always kind of stuck with my Nikes, my cross trainers, my football, you know, Dion, Griffey, then Jordan, obviously, and then Penny. So, like, you know, I was pretty much across the board with all those guys. And then, yeah, man. But growing up, it was that was the thing that kind of helped me feel like I was connected. Because growing up, I'm a Guatemalan kid in, you know, predominantly either black or white neighborhoods. So it kind of was like my entry point, like, oh, he's cool. He gets it, you know? So, but yeah, you know, sneakers definitely play a major part in Cincinnati. And then, you know, my love for basketball. You know, growing up, I was fortunate enough to see Jordan Brand, you know, be on the Bearcats, man, and how big of a moment that was for us. You know, there's a lot of pride in that. That's kind of probably why, you know, I connect more to Jordan Brand, you know, that excellence, that performance, that, you know, that's where I want to be, you know, with when I do projects or whatever. You know, it may alienate me at times, but it's what I'm true to. You know what I mean? Being 100% honest, I'm going to pick up a Jordan shoe over a Nike shoe. I'm going to pick up, you know, over other brands as well. But that's just because that's what I grew up on, you know? So.
Yeah. And I'm glad you talked a little bit about the Bearcats. And, you know, obviously you guys have professional sports franchises that people are passionate about. Sports is big in Cincinnati. But I'm wondering about what you think of, you know, you've been there for a long time. And, you know, especially in the world of sneakers, you know, Cincinnati is not a small town by any means. It's a big enough city. So how do you think Cincinnati kind of fits or you guys in the whole sneaker landscape? I feel like, you know, I've always heard about you, you know, being in Canada. I don't order from the States too much because of shipping and stuff like that, but I've always heard of you and I've always followed you guys. But it's funny, I didn't actually start buying sneakers from you until recently, since I started buying hats, because, you know, there's a lot of sneaker boutiques in the US. We don't have as many here, and it's kind of like, okay, well, I can't shop at them all, but how do you think you fit in? How do you think the sneaker community in Cincinnati has sort of developed?
Man, so I think it's been in the last probably 5 years, people have really started to take notice that we have like a strong presence, right? Not only through the shop, but like, you know, now there's getting word that certain guys work at brands, you know, and they make major decisions. Where do they come from? Cincinnati. So it's like one of those things that, you know, once you get to the brands, then the brands know, oh yeah, Cincinnati? Oh yeah, man, such and such works here from there. Or it's like, I'm like, ah. So we have like a real cool thing developing, you know, inside the brands, but also in the community. You know, I think, you know, and I know a lot of my locals don't understand it, but I go to bat for them crazy because I know that the way that they want stuff, you know, I know that the way that they support, you know, it's kind of tough sometimes because they don't always see that, being that a shoe might sell out or we have to do a raffle or whatever. But like, man, I'm going to bat for them because I know how hard they want to, you know, support this stuff. Like, that's the funny part in it. You know, when I read about like, oh, they're pissed off about this or that, I'm like, dude, like, y'all don't understand. Like, y'all drive my business. Why would I want to piss y'all off? Why would I want to make y'all feel like y'all can't have access to the product that I literally go into meetings and I tell them Cincinnati will buy that, or we want to be a part of that, or you know what I mean? Or even in Indianapolis now and, you know, soon to be Dayton. It's like, man, I'm going to bat for my region. I'm not just going to bat for my city no more. I'm going to bat for my region. You know, outside of the Midwest, I feel like Cincinnati is probably number two. You know, you hear Chicago, you hear in a Cincinnati, you used to hear about Cleveland. But like, man, honestly, I feel like we're bigger than that. Like, yo, we like shoes a little bit heavier than the rest of the Midwest, to be honest. Like, we're you know, like you said, there's a lot of cultural moments that kind of elevate us as well in those times. Like, you know, we did have Dion. We had the Bearcats with Jordan Brand. We have Griffey. Like, come on, man. Who's bigger than that? So, yeah, man, I think the Midwest is on the rise. But I definitely think that Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Dayton, they need to be really thought about and talked about in these conversations too, as far as like they got heat. Man, I know collectors from all these three markets that have over, you know, 1,000 pairs of sneakers from ever ago, you know? So yeah, man, it's real out here.
Yeah. And like I said, you guys are always on my radar and shops in that part of the world. But I feel like in the last, like you said, 3 to 5 years, maybe only getting the shine you deserve. But like you said, with that shine comes sort of these pressures and people, you know, people expect things from you. So, I mean, now you're expanding, right? And that must be another challenge. You talked about the recession. I'm sure COVID was a challenge. So, but at the same time, exciting. So you want to talk a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah. So from a corporate standpoint right now, we just moved into a warehouse, which will be helping us distribute our product out to our stores a little bit better. But also giving us a more structure internally for our nonprofit, which is bigger than sneakers, which is allowing us to, you know, do even more in the community. And that, you know, I could talk about that all day. Like that's where my passion is currently. I'm gonna be honest. Like, man, I love retail, but man, being able to help other people through corporate has been like, you know, that's fulfilling. You know what I mean? And then in the future, you know, spring of 23, we'll be opening our Dayton door, which again, being that I went to Wright State, it's outside of Dayton. I have a lot of Dayton ties. And hope, you know, I just want to bring something cool to that area, as I feel like it's been overlooked for far too long. And then, you know, going into 24, we're looking to have Indianapolis in a great space that, you know, we can have a amazing all-star weekend with the Pacers and the NBA coming, you know, bringing everybody to Indianapolis. So yeah, man, we're ready to run with it, man. It's our time, and we're gonna do that, as well as we're gonna celebrate 15 years of business in 2023 as well. So got some big stuff on the board, man.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting. I won't ask you to share anything that is probably locked away still for now, but I do want to hear more about Bigger Than Sneakers, a nonprofit you mentioned, and you guys do a lot of community work. Can you talk about that and how much of it is linked to the store?
Yeah, so Bigger Than Sneakers is our nonprofit. We're celebrating 5 years of being in existence. And man, really, it's us being able to connect kids and parents into, you know, this environment of sneakers, right? Okay, you can't own the shop, right? But there's all these other jobs that stem from your passion. You can be in marketing, you can be in product development, you can be in, the math behind creating the product. Like, there's so many things that I want to shed light on to kids, because man, it, you know, if I fast forward and I get told, hey, I want to own a sneaker store, nobody's going to be able to tell me how to do it. Okay. But because I'm here, that makes it very difficult. I'm not going to lie to a kid, right? So what else can you do through your passion? What else can you do through this? I want you to, you know, be able to have access to the people at the brands that make those decisions in hiring. I want you to be connected to people in marketing, people at the agencies that, you know, put on the activations, different things like that. But I really want them to understand, you know, selling the shoe is not the end all be all, that there are these other access points. And that's what, you know, Bigger Than Sneakers does. But then also we try to, you know, figure out what does our community really need? You know, they need access, they need product, they need to be able to have confidence. So how can we do that through the lens of, you know, working with Nike, working with Jordan? Oh, you guys have extra product? Well, we have the kids that actually truly need it, right? And kids that are in programs around the city that, you know, are developing their character, developing, you know, them into be the people that we hope that our community has. How can we reward them? Oh, we can give them free product. Cool, man. But you know, all that is just like really what we're trying to continue to build up in our cities. and really just be, you know, something that people can rely on as well through Bigger Than Sneakers. You know, my relationships with my customers, man, it stops being about transactional, right? Like the moment we start, you know, checking on each other outside the shop, checking on each other when, you know, we're going through our good times and our bad, you know, and that's what like Bigger Than Sneakers really is about. Like, I want to be there for my community beyond a release date. So it was kind of like the access point and, you know, having a co-founder that is an amazing person, Tammy Scott. She helps a lot with, you know, how do we take this thing to another level? And then we hire in Natalie Maureen, who is our director. You know, it's just like, now we're able to take this to the next level, which I'm very happy about with Bigger Than Sneakers.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, from not knowing you well, but hearing you talk and previously elsewhere talking about Bigger Than Sneakers, and, you know, obviously it's a function of having the business where you want it to. Yeah, you're going to be busy with expansion, but you can trust people and you can spend your time. You know, you said, yeah, the dream was to start the store, but now I've heard you say, you know, you're really pursuing another dream with Bigger Than Sneakers, and the store's store has to be where you want it to be before you can do that, right? It's kind of a luxury of your hard work in a way.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, it opens the door to, like I said, the next passion, you know, and like I said, I opened my shop when I was 22. You know, I wasn't thinking about everybody, but like, you know, becoming a father, becoming, you know, a man of the community, you know, going deeper in my own personal faith. Like, these things allowed me to mature and to grow into, okay, yeah, we're selling a ton of shoes, but what else are we doing? You know, to constantly ask, you know, how did, there's a phrase I got from a guy. He was like, you know, success is what you can do for yourself. Significance is what you can do for others. It's like, yo, that stuck with me so much. Because it's like, man, I'm trying to fix things. Like, I'm trying to make sure that people, you know, care for each other a little bit more. Or, you know, they see past everybody telling them, you can't do this, right? Because that's kind of like the era I grew up in. I swear it was like, yo, you had a good idea. Somebody's like, ah, I don't think you should do that. But now it's like, yo, you meet me, you tell me how passionate you are about your vision. Go do it, man. Like, that's what you believe in, go do it. If you believe in it, why can't it happen? Man, we used to have this phrase up on the wall from the Kanye and Jay Sakaya book. It was like, would you believe in what you believe in if nobody else believed in it? Man, I walked past that for 3 years straight. You don't think that that's what I really believe? Like, man, I could see it. I just had to keep working towards it. And then, like I said, here we are 15 years, and I'm like, man, I never even thought about having 3 shops. I never even thought about having, you know, hiring the people around me that I truly love. Like, everybody that works with me, like, man, I love them. Like, you know, I don't hire you if you just a guy that's cool, whatever. Like, no, I hire you because you're a good person. I hire you because, you know, I feel like you're going to bring value to this company, to the shops, you know, to us. Like, you're going to make us better too. So like, man, it's different. Like, I just try to make sure that I remember that it's different. Like, it's way different working at Foot Locker where they like, oh, this guy will come work $5.75 an hour. It don't matter. Nah, mm-hmm. Like, I hire you because you love this. I hire you because you're going to motivate me. You know, we're going to work together. Like, you know, you have a problem, you're going to be able to text me directly. Like, you know, everybody that, you know, works with us, you know, they have access straight to me. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how big we get, I hope that I can keep that going.
Yeah. I want to talk about family and things like that in a minute, but I have to, partly because I know some of the listeners are interested, and particularly me. I told you before, I've last few years been more focused on hats than I have been on sneakers. And it seems like that's obviously been a growing part of your business too, right?
For sure. Headwear has been something special to me since we opened. You got to think again, 2008, when we opened, I was just like trying to build the brand corporate, right? So looking at my peers, Major, Concepts, Sneaker Bistro, these guys, they were all doing like branded headwear with New Era. Well, I love doing that stuff because I actually worked at Lids. And even there, I was the embroidery specialist, right? I was the embroidery guy. So, here I was trying to make up colorways and do all this. And, how could I spin it so nobody else had this one? That was just like my passion. That was just like fun to me. So, we built corporate hats. We did that for some years. We always played with it. And then that resurgence happened, what, about probably 2 years ago, I would say, like right as the pandemic started. And man, headwear was just something that I just fell in love with again, man. It's always been a part of me, but I like doing it and I like seeing things that, hey, here's a story, right? Or, having fun with it in a way that, nobody else is gonna think this way. And I think that's what's so important about headwear, right? And even the guys in that business are like, they're leaning towards, predominantly five people. I'm like, you might want to expand your array of creators because there's guys that are definitely, trying to do it a little different. And, it's not about being the first in it. It's about being the freshest with it, right? Like, man, I want a fresh hat. Like, seek that out. Don't just seek, the guy that has the collab, you're following him on Instagram. Nah, seek out the shit that nobody else is looking for. Seek out the hat that, man, I might like it. Everybody else doesn't. Again, learn from sneakers, right? We all try to buy the same ones. Expand, expand, expand. That's why my shoe collection, yeah, it's all Nike and Jordan, but it's all different Nikes that y'all forgot about Nikes, Huaraches, Tailwinds. Different shoes, It doesn't have to be the icons. Same way with hats, man. Find that hat that nobody has. Go searching, get out there and actually be in the field. Go to your local shops or wherever you got, look on the internet, try to find something that nobody else is really talking about,
I agree. It's exactly like sneakers. I even experienced some of the same things, always had fitteds, never considered my collector. And then when I started getting into it was kind of like sneakers back in the day. It was like, I want to get everything. And then you start looking around. It's like, I didn't buy this because I like it. I bought it because of the hype or whatever. I have a bunch of Reds hats from you, some other teams, but mostly Reds hats that I love. But you talk about that, and I'm glad you said, like, learn from sneakers. You have a clientele. Well, what are you seeing from them? Are these sneakerheads, becoming hat collectors? Like,
A lot of them are. But I think it's also cool because from what I see with my clientele, like they're connecting with new people too, right? That's how sneakers was. We connected through sneakers, like, yo, you might hook me up, help me get a pair. Man, I got friends that I've known for 20 years just off of that.
yep, me
We've
too.
grown up together. One of my favorite stories is on Nike Talk. I met this guy named his handle was Turkey Turkeezy. And man, this is a kid from the Bronx. He ain't never heard about Ohio, Cincinnati, nothing. Man, I just hit him up like, yo, you got dope shoes. Like, how can I get those? Whatever. Yeah, New Yorkers, man, what the hell you want? Like, what's your angle? Man, we broke that ice. Man, I came out to visit him. He showed me sneakers. We go walk these stores. We go check everything out. And man, then he came out to Cincy. He's like, what the hell is this? Like, So we introduced him to a slower pace of life. And over the years, like, man, he has kids. I got kids. And it's just like, man, we really grew up from kids to fathers through some damn sneakers, man. A damn connection over sneakers. So it's like, that's what's cool to me, man. And I hope, when guys are like seeking hats and whatever else hobbies you got, like man, take them friendships with you too. Cause that's like, you know, that's what humbles you, man. That's what reminds you of the good times. And you may start to sound a little old when you're like, man, you remember when? But it just makes it fun.
I couldn't agree more. I had very similar experiences. And, you know, I don't hit up people for sneaker hookups. They're easily more readily available online. And, you know, I know a lot more people now. But sometimes hats only drop in store. And, you know, I'm forming those same type of relationships I did in sneakers. And, you know, they're not as old yet. But some of those sneaker ones are, you know, decades old. And people you can call a friend. And I know, you know, you met a lot of people in your business. And maybe in your collecting that, you know, you're friends with outside of yeah. work, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. And it's funny, man, you know, that common interest becomes like what keeps y'all together. And then, you know, from there, time will separate everything else, right? You know, so.
Yeah. It's crazy. Tell me a little bit more about hats. Are you in charge of the designs? Do people help you out in shop?
So Matt Club is literally, you know, me. You know, sometimes I'll talk to my friends or the guys around the shop, like, tell me a color. And then, you know, all right, well, this is what I'm thinking. I show it to them. They're like, yeah, that's dope. Like, all right, cool. It's part of Matt Club. You know, Matt Club is like really just like me again having my fun, where corporate was, you know, kind of like a play on Foot Locker. But like Matt Club is really just like, hey, man, these are what I wanted to see. So I brought them to life. That's all it is. It ain't no shot at Hat Club. It's just me having fun again. And, you know, thankfully, it is kind of like a creative outlet and just like, you know, a moment that I have where I'm like, yo, I can be creative still and I can see things. And, you know, because, you know, oftentimes guys don't have outlets to, you know, collab on footwear every year or whatever it is, you know. So it's just a thing that just I have fun with. And if they sell, they sell, you know. If they don't, shit, they'll sell at some point. So,
yeah, and it's really cool that, you know, through New Era, you can almost do whatever you want. I mean, there's limits, but, you know, you can take that creative freedom that if you were able to get a sneaker collab every 2 months or month or 2 weeks, depending how often you order hats, and you could do something, you could link it to a sneaker hook or you could link it to a sports hook or something like that. Are you seeing similarities in the market? I know, you know, you're selling these things at retail, but in terms of just, you know, popularity and just people coming in and maybe even a little bit of the, you know, oversaturation. I know it's really, really, it was really tough because of the, you know, the logistics and the shipping from China and thing during COVID. That aside though, I mean, now we're getting, feels like a ton of hats, kind of like we were getting for sneakers.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people's orders have finally shipped. That's why I kind of like took a break, man, because at one point, I swear I had like 40 styles that we hadn't released. I'm just like, what the hell? I can't, you know, so kind of spreading them out, kind of taking our time, easing back into it. But again, I think that, you know, the customer herself is, again, chasing the 3 to 5 guys that these are the only ones that are cool. And it's like, yo, y'all are missing hell of a lot of hats that are dope. Like stop riding that train. I know that thing. I know that Facebook and all these groups make it seem like this, but just relax. Like, hats are for individuals. Sneakers are for individuals. Though there may be some that are produced at a way higher rate, man, you don't have to follow that trend if you don't really believe in it or genuinely like it. So, but yeah, man, we're seeing it. We're feeling it a little bit, you know, and that's where I just, like I said, we just have fun with it, man. That shit, you know, we're in a place, fortunately, we can make some mistakes and maybe some hats hit, some don't. It's just part of it, man. Everybody doesn't bat 1,000%. So.
Yeah. And I won't ask you about any details, but personally, I think, you know, I watch the hat market like I used to watch the sneaker market. And I feel like, you know, the future is like what you're talking about, is find those designers or those hats that not everyone has and instead of all the high hats. And you know, we see a lot of stores and a lot of brands collabing with individuals, whether they're designers. You know, maybe if you're not a designer personally, I got a hat collab, and we're doing another one, and I'm not a designer at all. My friend Andy is a designer. He did a lot of that work. But the point is, find those, you know, stories that mean something to you, maybe the people that work. And I think that's kind of what's happened in sneakers. You know, there's a collab coming out every day, but really the ones that last are the ones that the story means something to you. And you know, maybe it'll be smaller batches. Maybe it won't be, you know, people ordering 1,000 hats. It'll be people ordering 60 or 100, and you know, they will be special. And I think that's sort of what's already happened, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, even New Era, they have to figure out how to, you know, respectfully decline an order of something that's already been hot, right? Like, man, you know, you we see here's an example, and this, you know, Ty is my big bro. Like, Ty's from Cincinnati, actually. A lot of people don't always know that, but like, man, if y'all see him doing his thing, that's his lane. You don't have to sit there and, you know, oh, we're gonna remake that hat. Why? Why? Why would you feel like that's even appropriate? Like, but again, New Era has to just be like, yo, respectfully, we're not gonna recreate this hat. Like, we see what he's doing with it, you know, because everybody sees, right? Everybody got access to the internet, everybody got access to social media. And then when you come out with it and you get called out, how that make you look? It's also a bad reflection of New Era.
I think you're right. I think they're going to figure it out. I think they're probably, like you said, you know, catching up all these orders. This is like a boom. Like, I think they're probably catching up. And you know, they didn't know this was coming. Like, the last 2 years, I think their business was in trouble. And here we are. New Era's can't produce enough hats. And I think in
Trust.
terms of that design thing, I think they're going to figure it out, and they're going to realize that, you know, limited is good, and it builds hype, and it keeps the business going.
Yep. No, they definitely will. And you know, again, I've been in business with them for 15 years. Like, you know, we never gave up on them because we knew exactly what they are. They're New Era. There's no other brand, I don't think, outside of Nike or Jordan that has that much value with a flag. The New Era flag is all you need, you know what I mean, to give yourself a chance. So, yeah, you're right.
It's certainly interesting, and I know you'll continue to release great hats, and I'll keep buying them. But we talked a little bit about your family, and a little bit about that. Let's start with your daughter, because you have a young daughter, and that must have changed, at least, maybe not how you do things, but the way you think about things, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I have a total of three daughters. My youngest, my older two, you know, my wife and I, we got together and they were already in the picture, right? So our daughter, our baby daughter, so she's like, it's like learning backwards, right? My oldest is 19, I got a 10, and then I have a 2-year-old. So yeah, it's definitely softened me up. It's definitely made me think about things that I say or do a lot better, because I mean, you know, going from 0 to 3 basically is a lot, man. So, but yeah, I love it. I would not, you know, I work hard during the day, and I can't wait to unplug and just be daddy. Like, that is the ultimate privilege. I feel like I have. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's tight.
I didn't know you had three. Can you tell me about how each of them feel? I'm sure your youngest just you know, you kind of get on whatever shoes she's willing to let you put on. I know it's like to have a little kid, but what about the older two? Maybe we'll start there.
Oh, my oldest, she's now understanding how cool sneakers are. And it's funny because, you know, all throughout high school, I tried to give her like the heat, you know what I mean? And she'd just be like, ah, yeah, I'm kind of into it. But then she got hit with you know, the COVID era. So her senior year, she was not in school. So yeah, but now in college, she gets it. She's like, yo, I want to rock these, or you know, but she's also a little bit closer to the business now, and which makes me super proud, just because it's like, man, she gets it. You know what I mean? Like she sends our family group chat pictures of you know, a corporate logo out. She's like, look at this, look what I found. I'm like, yeah, that's tight. So, and then my 10-year-old, her feet growing so daggone fast. I'm like, man, you know, I'm just trying to put heat on you every week, like trying to make sure she's right and she gets it. But that you know, recess doesn't claim a pair of shoes every time she plays. Yeah. She's so hard on shoes. She don't get it. You know, she knows we got the shops and she likes that. But yeah, man, she's starting to get it a little bit. Just a little bit.
And like I said, the little one, you're just trying to get the shoes on, probably, I imagine, without her. No.
He is very particular.
Oh, okay.
Her rotation is crazy. Always has been. You know, she has everything. I try to make sure if I got it, she got it, right? So, you know, when Travis just hit it, I get them for her, me, and then, you know, try to get a pair like in between sizes. So she can kind of, you know, have it again at preschool or whatever. But yeah, man, she got heat. And she probably got a collection that's, you know, after the last, well, we do donation because we got like a lot of kids in our family growing up. You know, I'm fortunate with that, like nieces and nephews. So they're starting to get like the heat too. So like, you know, everybody's winning off of Jordan's situation. Jordan grows up, she goes through something, then, you know, my nephew get it, or niece or whoever, you know. So they're, yeah, everybody's excelling in their sneaker game right now.
That certainly helps, especially when they're growing quick. You want someone to put good use to those sneakers, especially when they're you know, they're above average in terms, yeah, of in what they are. What about your wife? Is she into it at all?
Oh, so my wife last night, she actually just, okay, so sometimes I'll be in the basement and she'll be upstairs, and she calls me last night. So I'm like, what the heck? Like, she calls, she's like, I just think that I'm at a point where I don't need any more sneakers right now. And I'm like, what? Like, how we get this? How? You know, I always need another pair. But yeah, she, you know, she was into sneakers when we were, you know, teenagers. And then as adults, you know, she kind of fell back. But then when we, you know, got together, then it's now she's understanding it. And it makes it more expensive. So yeah, that was a bad idea on my part.
Are you giving her stuff, or is she telling you what she wants? Is that like the only thing that's going to come in for her, something that she approves, or what's the situation?
Oh, a little of both. My wife's a hairstylist, so comfort is everything for her. So if somebody tells her something's comfortable, naturally I'm like, she's like, you think I can get those? I'm like, oh man. And you know, we're she's phasing out of the Yeezy comfort. She's like, hey, can we look at, you know, New Balance? Or I'm like, well, we don't carry New Balance currently, so you can get them. You just can't wear them right now. When they reopen us, well, you'll be able to wear New Balance. So I'm stocking up some New Balance for her. What'd she get? She got those Terra Formas, the ones that I just posted. I got a pair, she got a pair. So, you know, she's a hype beast, man. She a hype beast. That's all.
My wife's getting into comfort. She works at a hospital, so she was on her feet all day, much like your wife. And this holiday, you know, every holiday she's getting a pair, and every birthday was coming up in a couple of weeks, she gets a pair, and she got a pair of Jordan 1s, and she kind of said, you know, I don't need any Jordan 1s. They're not really for me anymore. And I said, okay. Took them back, gave them to a niece or whatever. And then she ordered about 6 pairs. She wasn't going to keep them all, but she tried on, she tried New Balance, she got a pair of Saucony, just trying to see which one was most comfortable. And at one point she had about 6 boxes here right during the holidays when the whole family came over, and we really teased her because that's usually me. So it was funny. But she's into it too, and I'm always curious because, you know, you have access to these shoes, and I would guess it would be nearly impossible for her, but you said she was into it before. I also want to hear a little bit before we go about your collection, because we talked a lot about it being big, and you said it was heavy in Jordans, but listeners, and I'm always curious, are there, you know, pieces in the collection that mean a lot to you outside of obviously Jordan 4s? Do you have, you know, do you collect rare ones, vintage ones, PEs, or anything like that?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, my collection right now, and last night I was walking through, like, so I really try to keep it organized at the house, just like what you have behind you, like everything on the shelf, I can see it. And, you know, I was doing some reflecting last night, and I was like, so in 2007, the business that I was working for, they closed down. I lost my grandma, and then my apartment got broken into in Columbus. They wiped everything. I'm talking about they even took, like, dirty drawers out of a laundry basket, bro. And they wiped out my shoe collection. And here I was, I'm looking at these shoes. I'm like, if I would have been able to tell myself then, like, you're going to be straight. That was that moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do collect, I collect everything, man. Air Force One, Air Max One, some Dunks. I got older stuff back. You know, always trying to find older pairs now because I do have a good handle on, you know, new stuff that's coming out. Jordan 4, that's the one, size 9. Anything I can get my hand on, I try to get it, you know what I mean? And I've been very successful at getting things that a lot of people don't even know is real. And it's just like, that's it. Like, it's for me. The world don't need to see what I got. Nobody needs to see what I got unless you come to the house. But yeah, man, like anybody that is probably out there that believes they're the best in collecting, I would probably say you would not understand what I have because it's that bad, bro. And I mean, I got Kobe stuff. I got LeBron stuff, Jordan stuff, obvious, but just, I just have fun with it, man. And at the end of the day, I even got Trunners. I got, you know, Team Jordans that mean something to me. You know, I got all that stuff. So it's a lot of stuff, man.
So, I know you can't talk about a lot of things, but to sum it up, it sounds like it's a combination of, you know, things that are you just love, whether it's Air Jordan 4, you know, in mass quantities or Jordan Trunners, but then also rare stuff and stuff that people don't know about. So a lot of everything maybe is the right way to describe
it. A lot of everything. And, you know, there's definitely certain things that I got that I'm like, man, these meant something to me at this point in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got an Air Max One. You remember the Safari pack that they did where it was like a blue toe? Oh, man, it's escaping me what the name of that pack was. Might have been like Urban Jungle or something. But it was like blue, orange, green, black based.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wore those when we put the first floor into my first shop. So my dad, we were working on this. And he is like, man, you want to work in those? I was like, Dad, I'm just trying to get this done. And somehow I came up off of them. And then a consignment shop in the area opened up and they had them. And on the tread, there was the white, the glue that we glued these boards together. The flooring that like pops together. Well, we put glue in there before we knew it just popped together. And I got it all throughout the tread. And when I got them back from that store, it still had that in the tread. And it was just like, and that shit meant something to me so much. And I look at those a lot. Yeah, man, but just stuff like that. That's what means a lot to me. Or shoes that I had when, I didn't have a lot, those mean a lot to me, like the Dions as a kid, pennies as a kid, you know, all that stuff coming back out. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about, you know, shoes you're wearing when you're young or when your daughter was born or fixing up the shop. And, you know, I think there's, people with different kind of, you know, memories when it comes to sneakers, but it's cool that, you know, I'm sure you're not the type to remember where every pair came from, but definitely it sounds like the ones that mean a lot to you, you can maybe remember at least why you got them or where, right?
It's still crazy to me because I think I would bet I remember about 95% of where I got them from, or like where I was at or who I was with, or like the trip or whatever, you know what I mean? Just because like that's how I'm kind of like remembering my life. Yeah. Like, you know, I used to go out to LA and I remember buying French Blue Sevens from Riff. And you know, I go meet up with some buddies and one of my buddies is like, man, I need to get those, like, you know, sell them to me. I'm like, I can't, but I can get you a pair or whatever. And, you know, it's just like, just little stuff like that, man. You just remember those funny stories or how much shit he gave me about not selling to him. And then they come up behind you like, man, you still got them shoes? So it's just nuts, man.
Cool. Well, you're obviously very passionate about sneakers, your business, your family, and your community and your friends. So, you know, certainly for listeners who didn't know you or don't know a lot about you, I'm sure they got that. I'm sure we could do this for another hour or two, but I'll let you go. We both have things to do, but I really appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun talking to you, Matt.
No doubt, man. Anytime, man. I appreciate you reaching out. And, man, you know, I'm one DM away, man. So feel free anytime. And that goes for anybody, you know. If anybody's listening to this and they, you know, they hear something that just catches them or they need to hear that, man, let me know. Cause, man, I try to do my best to, like, you know, remember people and remember times and, you know, try to stay the best that I can for everybody.